We'll begin with Chaitanyavas Prabhu and then go like this.
My question was Pankaj Angre Prabhu, that he was...
No. They are non-different.
You are making one point in your lecture that that just don't try to understand the process of devotional service, just execute it, whatever the previous acharyas have told. If you try to understand it, then it is so mystical, you cannot understand it. Just if some bhava is there by the pious activity of your previous life, then it will be very nice. So you just execute it. But Srila Prabhupada said that without a mood, chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lives will not help. We have to put our mood, our mind, everything into it. But how this looks little, sounds little apparently contradictory for me. Just please clear my doubt.
No, he had another one for me. He said his question for me was, if you don't think about the future, how are you going to manage your household life and business? Wasn't it? I thought I knew everything. I thought I could read minds. What was the question? No one to answer?
Huh?
No one to answer?
No, it's your question.
We don't have to listen to him.
Hello?
We're one. If he answers, I answer. What's the difference?
You are inconceivably simultaneously one and different.
Prabhupada said they are the same. You're far and from.
He said, no difference.
You're saying you don't have to study about it. You're saying you don't have to worry or study or consider making it.
The very nature of bhakti, he asked, the question was that if you say you don't have to understand about how the mechanics of bhakti work or how it actually is, you just perform it. Of course, we're learning how it works. We're reading that through devotion, which is a complete science, and we're hearing in the classes also. We're not just talking about Krishna's pastimes. We're talking about most of the Srimad Bhagavatam is about the material world and the application of devotional service within this context. But the mystery of bhakti is that as soon as you try to analyze it, it disappears. That is a great mystery of bhakti. Huh? Bhakti comes from bhakti. And the nectar of devotion, also Srila Prabhupada says that there's no actual study, there's no actual practice of Krishna consciousness. Either you're Krishna conscious or you're not. If your practice means you're not Krishna conscious. So in that sense, he's saying there is no actual practice of Krishna consciousness. Either you're Krishna conscious or you're not Krishna conscious. But if you can't always think of Krishna, then here's the science. Here's the science, sadhana bhakti. Krishna says, man mana bhava mat bhaktav. If you can't do that, he says, this is the most confidential thing. So always remember me, bow down to worship me. It's the most confidential knowledge. If you can't do that, then follow the regular principles of devotional service. Sadhana bhakti. So you're not going to understand, you're not going to be able to encapsulate it and put it down. Whatever's possible to write about it has been written by Srila Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas. So that it's not a, Prabhupada said, it's not an intellectual, there's no need for intellectual adjustment for understanding bhakti or the Hare Krishna mantra. It springs automatically from the spiritual stratum. In other words, it's coming from the heart. It's a reawakening. It's not something you've got to gathering. It's an the process is to accept. The process is Chaito Dharvanama. Clean the heart. Krishna consciousness, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It's already there. You just have to clean away these misgivings. And part of these misgivings is trying to understand it. Because that falls in the category of Gyan. And there's no place for Gyan in Bhakti. But of course, we use Gyan, we use Karma also. But it's connected to that because that's what we're accustomed to. That's the way we think. That's it. So we have to be that. I have to follow some... that's our religion. But ultimately, Krishna says you have to give these religions up and just surrender to Him. So when you're tired of trying to understand what it is, at that time when you get so exhausted, then you just say, all right, Krishna, I give up, I surrender. That's just the point of surrender. So how long will it take you to come to that point? So that's why we said that you're trying to understand it with your mind or intellect, but it's beyond that. That was the gist. Hare Krishna.
Here's a question about free will. If Krishna knows everything, then how we have free will? He knows what's going to be done in the future. That we, if He knows everything, then where is the question of free will? I heard a nice example a few days ago from Harisori Prabhu. He's quoting Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee, he left this one. He fell down or something and he left. And he was actually angry, and he was kind of, he was even criticizing. That why Srila Prabhupada allowed it to happen? Why Krishna allowed it to happen? They know everything. And yet they allowed it to happen, and I'm a devotee. And he was actually angry at the devotees for this against the philosophy. They know it's going to happen. Why they allow me to fall down? And Prabhupada said, no. He said, if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. So Krishna says, if you associate with these women, you're going to fall down. So Krishna knows that if you do associate, you have this connection with women, you're going to fall down. He's told you that, and you do it, so He knows the future. But He already told you, and He tells you not to do it also. So like that, if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. So Krishna says, well, we know, Shastra says, you associate too familiar with women, you're going to fall down. So the devotee fell down, and he said, no, if it was predestined, Krishna knew my destiny. No, but Krishna said, he knew that if you associate with women, you'll fall down. And you associated with him, and you did fall down, therefore Krishna knows everything.
Maharaj, why we always hear that when a soul enters the spiritual world, he never comes back to the material world. If it is so, then why does soul enters the material world? Does that mean that even after entering the material world, he can come back, even after entering the spiritual world, he can again come back to the material world? Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's chapter 8, verse number 15, that when you enter into the spiritual world, you never come back again. He says the soul actually falls once. In other words, if you actually experience the suffering in the material world, then you go, when you turn to the spiritual world, that knowledge remains with you, because in the liberated state, you know everything. So you'll never come back again to this material world. But still, the independence remains. It's not that you lose your independence, it's just that you have the experience of being, of suffering in this material world, and therefore you just don't do it again. When you put your hand in fire, it burns. It's from that experience you learn not to put your hand in fire again. So the suffering and the experience of the suffering remains in our category of knowledge. You don't come. Another part of the question is, why do we come to this material world? And that is the famous question. It's probably the most asked question in ISKCON. Why do we come here? And that question, of course, was asked by Srila Prabhupada many times. And he's answered generally in the same way. Why are you worrying, you know, why you got here or how you got here? Just use your energy time to get out. You're suffering, you're drowning, and you're thinking, no, let me figure out how at first I got here. But he said also, it's a misuse of your independence. The soul is a fragmental part of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is Swarat. Krishna is fully independent in all situations. And being part and parcel of Krishna, we also have a fraction of that swarat, or independence. And we can choose to somehow come to this mere material world. Now, why would we do that? That's the question. Why, if the soul is in the spiritual world, why would it want to come here if it's in full knowledge? That's a good question. And really, the answer to that question will never be fully understood until you get back. But we can use we can use an example, and Prabhupada used this example, to illustrate a certain aspect of that, how that independence can be misused. He says you're walking along the street, and you see a marquee for a movie theater, advertising outside. And it's a very horrible, horrifying movie. And just by the display of the marquee, you're just becoming frightened just reading about it. But you go in anyway. Curiosity. Curiosity. What is this material world like? Curiosity. So that's dangerous. But ultimately, we won't know exactly how we fell to the material world until we actually get back. So therefore, the most important thing is try to get back, or at least qualify yourself to come back, become fully Krishna conscious.
We make whole day schedule, but it doesn't happen that way. And because of which, we become frustrated, and we become angry on someone. So how to come out from such a problem? Classical case. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. From attachment comes, from association comes attachment, from attachment comes desire, from desire unfulfilled comes frustration, returns to anger, one falls down. So, in many ways you could see it, but one way is why you become frustrated because it didn't happen how I wanted it to happen. So what is the lesson there? It didn't happen because I think I'm the controller, therefore I'm angry when it doesn't happen how I planned it to happen. So we can see, we can take a lesson from this, a personal lesson, that Krishna's given this example, that you're not the controller. You're just thinking you're the controller. We try to make these plans, programs, and they don't happen. So these things are there to humble us, to make us realize we're not the controller. Krishna's the controller. We're just desiring, and everything else is carried out by the modes of nature. We don't have the power to move one atom, as you said. We don't do anything in this living entity. Doesn't do anything in the material world. It's spirit. It doesn't touch the material energy. Simply desiring to do something, thinking, feeling, and willing. Willing means desire, activity. Then from the super soul, the main soul's arrangements, arranges through the devatas to arrange the material energy in such a way, and you will get the result according to your karma. So if you're feeling frustrated that things don't turn out like you planned, then maybe you should think maybe there is someone else is in control and not me. Hare Krishna.
What is the significance of offering various items during Artik ceremony? How is the Artik done in the spiritual world? Murari Gupta. Thus. There's a description. Radha and Krishna, they're entering the six-season forest, and Brindadevi is giving the description. You just see how the flowers have made a beautiful carpet for you to enter into the forest. And you see how the moonstones are melting into water and they're mixing with the Shamaki Chal and the Vishnukranta herb, and they're washing your lotus feet as you come in. And see how the danya grains are mixing with the water, and they're offering you this argya. And see how the kakola fruit, the nutmeg, and the cloves mixing with the water, they're offering you archman to drink. And see how the honey is dripping from the trees in the form of, which is madhupaka. And see how the breeze is taking the water from the Jamuna and the waterfalls and then sprinkling your bodies, offering a... It's going on. What is happening here is this whole puja system is going on. The flower carpet, this asanam. So those who know puja, you are getting the soda soap upachar. You don't... The asanam, the first... And then swagatam, this is... Actually, this is all the roots and everything from the banyan trees and creepers. They're all moving like that in the breeze, the swagatam. And the moonstone water is padyam, it's washing their feet. And the water mixed with the grains, and that's the agya, and the nutmeg and the jayfal, and that's mixed up for perform archman. The honey becomes the madhupaka. And then the water, sprinkling water, becomes the snan. And just like that, it goes on, the flower, offering flower garlands, and the fragrances are the wind is carrying fragrance from different flowers, and the pollens, and the champaka flower, the golden champaka flowers. It looks like a Pancha Pradeep. It's got the branches are moving like that. It looks like the flames are moving as if they're offering a Pancha Pradeepa. And so like that is going on. And then there's different fruits and everything, which is the nevedyam, the boga, are being offered. And the banyan tree have different roots. They're like a chamra, they're moving like that. And the banana leaves and other leaves, they're moving like a fan, vayanjana seva. And of course, we have to set up an umbrella above the deity, and it says, the whirlwind comes, the wind, and it picks up all the pollen from the different flowers, and that pollen in the whirlwind, it forms a canopy that's just spinning over the head, a nice umbrella. It's a nicely scented pollen umbrella made by the air, the whirlwind of the air. And so it goes, so it's a whole description of actual puja. Of course, worship as such, worship indicates the mood of awe and reverence, but that's absent in the spiritual world. So what it is, it's all these different personalities there, because everything is person. They're all offering themselves to Krishna as he comes in the form of worship. And it's all just done with, they're just surrendering themselves. It's done with love and devotion. So then you get a whole system of puja going on in the spiritual world by the personalities themselves, who are all these items, in the form of surrender. So then that, because that's just offered spontaneously out of love for Radha and Krishna, then that goes from Goloka, it goes over to Vaikuntha, and it takes on a more formal mood. Then that goes on to the devatas,
comes down into the material world, the devatas get it, and then it comes out, sahasra shirshaha purushaha sahasraksha sasrapat sarvuming vishato vachadisata shangulam idong ashanam inkrishna namaha.
With mantra in it, but it's the same thing. You're offering an asan there, it's just all the flowers there. Krishna, come and step on us. So the flowers are saying, where are your asan? Come and put your lotus feet on us. We're offering ourselves to you completely.
So then it leaves there. When it comes through Vaikuntha, it comes back here. It's very, very formal, and we chant all these different mantras. But that's the origin of everything, is in Goloka there. So it gets formalized when it comes here with different mantras like that. But if we want to understand the the source of all this, then we can be remembering Radha and Krishna also when we're doing our worship in the reverential mood. But behind that, we should understand it's coming from Goloka in a spontaneous way. Hare Krishna.
We need another question.
This is for His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Is it possible to be attached with devotee parents and one's guru equally? Which attachment is more favorable for one's Krishna consciousness?
Depends on your parents. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his ultimate attachment was to his father, Bhaktivinod Thakur, which was non-different than his attachment to his guru, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. It is not that we artificially become attached to something. Krishna is the original guru. And whoever is repeating his word and inspiring our heart is our guru. Maybe our instructing guru, our initiating guru. A parent can be an instructing guru also. If they are actually inspiring, enlivening our Krishna consciousness, then we should, with our hearts, to our heart's content, become attached to that inspiration that is coming from them. We don't have to compare, is my attachment more for this or more for that? If the message is the same and the inspiration is coming, we should be grateful and become attached to the Krishna consciousness that they're giving us. Hare Krishna. So you can become very attached to your mother, Shikshastakam Prabhu. His mother ordered him to join the Brahmachari ashram. Shikshastakam Prabhu was in prison. Actually, he was doing a particular occupation. And if he wanted to join the Brahmachari ashram, he would be put in prison. So he was very hesitant to do such a thing. And his mother preached to him. I was present. She said, Sanatan Goswami was willing to go to prison to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in the renounced order, so you should also do the same. She is Shiksha Guru.
want to clarify that these questions are not my questions.
But you're the one that's asking. The microphone is in your hand. But that is the main thing. We should be grateful to anyone who's giving us Krishna consciousness. Hari Bol.
This is for Jananivas Prabhu. I read in a newspaper article that tulsi leaves cannot be considered tulsi after 10 days from picking. Is it true?
No, it says you can offer tulsi leaves if they're dried, if they're old. Some people keep them and dry them and they take them to where countries where they don't grow. It's a similar thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, what's the difference between a big tulsi and a small tulsi? Big tulsi leaf and a small tulsi leaf, is there a difference? Well, she's a spiritual personality. You don't make a distinction. That's who, even old or dried, it can still be used. No, so if you can't get tulsi leaves in your country, if it's a cold country, then they take tulsi leaves and they keep them, dry them, and they keep them.
This is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Although we are chanting 16 rounds and following regulative principles very strictly and for a long time, why we are unable to get out from material attachments?
What's a long time? Who asked the question? If you want to get out of material attachments, you have to identify yourself. It's part of getting out of material attachments. Nobody's saying. Okay. Could be many reasons. It's not such a one type of answer. We could be committing offenses. If we're committing offenses, then our chanting really won't progress very much. Follow the principles, avoid offenses. Offenses to the Vaishnavas, offenses to the holy name, offenses to the deity, offenses in bhakti. Srila Prabhupada mentioned, I mean, he's said many things in many different situations. But one thing I remember he said was, your advancement is basically three things. Chant the holy names of the Lord, avoid the offenses, and follow the regulative principles. Now, the regulative principles, when Prabhupada was saying that, he was saying not the four regulative principles, but the 64. That are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. In other words, those principles that are things to do and things to avoid. So obviously, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the four regular principles are things to do, and that's good. We also have to be very aware of what the things to avoid are and make sure we avoid them carefully. And follow the other principles on how to execute devotional service according to one's situation. So give yourself a reevaluation and see where you're weak and try to improve on that. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in relationship to the chanting, he says, if you want to improve your chanting, work on attentiveness. He says, by cultivating attentive chanting, then you'll decrease the quality, you'll decrease the offenses more and more. So I would say, if you're looking for something to focus on, work on attentive japa. Try to arrange your japa in such a way that you chant attentively and do whatever is necessary and see if that doesn't help.
Hare Krishna.
This is for His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu. When a person dies, his soul transmigrates to another body, then what is the need of performing last rites to the dead and soulless body?
My cause can answer that better. Anonymous and the expansion. No, those shuddha rites, they are for the soul. They're not actually for the body. They are for the soul. And so generally, you perform the shraddha rite for get that soul out of is maybe in an unfavorable situation. Generally, if a soul, when the soul leaves the body early or prematurely or by accident like that, often they will have to spend some time in a ghostly form until the remainder of their life, especially if they commit suicide, something like that. So that then that releases them, offering that shraddha ceremony, that Vishnu Prasad, it releases them from that situation. Of course, the devotees, they don't have to see the Jamadutas or any hellish planet or anything like that. Of course, if they commit suicide also, they may take a devotee ghostly body, because that was that they voluntarily did then. Otherwise, devotees, it's not necessary for devotees to do it actually. Even in Navadvip Dham, it recommends these rites of shaving, fasting, performing shraddha, tarpon. Even in the Dham, they're not recommended, because service is a greater thing to do. If you can do service, or in other words, if you take to perform a ritual, a shraddha ritual, for the benefit of a soul, he will get more benefit from you by doing devotional service. But devotional service is very, very powerful. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami has said that if you perform that ritual according to the smarter rites, because it involves demigod puja and things like that, he said you commit not savor aparad and nam aparad. If a devotee has been initiated into by a bona fide sampradaya into the Vishnu mantra, if he performs these ritualistic ceremonies which involves demigods, he makes nam aparad and savor aparad. So he said that, no, he said the devotees, they love their parents when they're living, and when they die, they just offer some Vishnu prasad. So they don't have to worry about it. They don't do the ritualistic aspect of the, you know, worshipping the devatas and that, because that's very dangerous. Otherwise, they will offer him some Radha Gopinath Mahaprasad, something like that. That's okay. But the idea is for the soul, it's for the benefit of the soul, not for the body.
This is for His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu. what do I have to do to take initiation from you?
Chandamali says you should raise your hand in saying that. Yes, this is a serious gathering, you know. This is a serious topic. Please don't make jokes. My Siksha Gurus are here in front of me. My Diksha Gurus, yeah, and then I. Siksha Gurus are here. Siksha Guru is not even accepting disciples himself. How can I accept disciples before him? So after John of Us takes disciples, then maybe you can ask. Ask a silly person.
This is for Jananivas Prabhu. And when are you going to begin, start initiating?
they're writing their own questions. Conspiracy marriage.
I don't know. I never thought about it. That's it.
This is for...
That's it. I never thought that.
This is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It is said that one should use all his qualities in the service of Krishna. Is it possible for a devotee who is very much politically inclined to use his political abilities in the service of Krishna?
That is a political question. In Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the greatest devotees were kings who were very much involved in politics. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj. So they used their political tendencies in pure devotional service. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, who had some devotees who were lawyers, attorneys, had them start a political party in America to run for president. The name of the political party was In God We Trust. He very much encouraged them to be involved in politics for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explains Ramananda Rai was a politician. And in certain circumstances, even Sanatana Goswami, he was a politician. And when he was in prison, he used his political expertise for the service of Krishna. So mundane politics is when our motivation is selfish aggrandizement, selfish acquisition of property, selfish power that we want for ourselves, when we want to be the controller, then politics is very dangerous and corrupting. But when we use politics in a spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant, with unconditional motivations, then that is transcendental politics. And often it is a very powerful way of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the real essence is we could use our political tendencies, but they should never be with the motivation of being the enjoyer, the proprietor, or the controller. They should be for serving others and bringing them closer to God. Hare Krishna.
This is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. Please clarify, if Krishna has already planned to have incarnation at the end of Kali Yuga, how can we push back Kali?
How does that connect with the incarnation? What is that? He's asking, how can we push back Kali Yuga, and what does that have to relate to the incarnation at the end of the Yuga? How is that connected?
It seems if Kalki avatar is going to appear, when Kali Yuga will be in its most intensity, then how can we push back Kali if it's already planned?
Well, it's predicted, Lord Chaitanya predicted, and we also mention quite often how in every town and village, Lord Chaitanya said, the chanting of the holy name will happen all over the world. And it's given in within a certain time period within the Kali Yuga that for 5,000 years up, for the next 5,000 years, it will start to increase more and more, this chanting of the holy name and the devotional service to the Lord will increase. But then after 5,000 years, it'll start going down again. And then after a period of 10,000 years, it'll be again, you know, full-fledged Kali. This is the material world. So what is the benefit of Lord Chaitanya's movement if it's only going to be here for 10,000 years? That so many souls within that 10,000 years can take advantage and get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. It'll be for the benefit of those who take advantage. But ultimately, you know, Srila Prabhupada has said many times, this is the material world. It'll always be the material world. And the material world means, you know, suffering, illusion, death, defeat. So Lord Chaitanya is giving the opportunity to, for these 10,000 years to get out. So we should take advantage. And then, after these 10,000 years, we read in the Puranas, some of the more less quoted Puranas, the Agni Purana, Bhavishya Purana, Galinga Purana, a few others, what will happen towards the end of Kali? What will happen towards the end of Kali Yuga? It's described in the 12th canto, it's also described in these Puranas. And it becomes actually degraded. The whole material world, the mode of goodness becomes completely lost. And the modes of passion and ignorance become so prominent that people will be eating their own children. It's described in these Puranas. And Prabhupada also has mentioned many times that towards the end of Kali Yuga, people will live to about 20 years. Prabhupada said, if they live 20 years, they'll be a grand old man. So we can't imagine such degradation, but we can see right now certain aspects of Kali, how it's starting to manifest in a very degraded way. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is that bright light for the next 10,000 years. So take advantage of that, become fully Krishna conscious, and try to save as many souls as possible and bring them back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada said, it's a grand opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya has made it easy. But he said, don't stick around. Don't come back life after life, because Kali Yuga will be getting worse. So get out. So the question is, what can we do? Chant Hare Krishna and give Krishna consciousness to others. That's what we can do. If you help one person out of the material world, your life is not only successful, it's glorious. If you can save one soul, and that's how kind Krishna is. He recognizes someone fully if they help another person become God conscious. That's how magnanimous Lord Chaitanya is. So there's a great opportunity to perfect our life and to help as many people as possible. So take advantage of that.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, Jarani Master Pangajanga Prabhu, everyone can answer. Prabhuji, you mentioned in your classes that Krishna consciousness is very simple. Just serve Krishna and don't worry about mystical potencies or siddhis, even for preaching. So as a brahmacharis or as any preachers, we also need to have some skills for preaching. And you also mentioned that there is a scaring thing that if you're attached to skills or extra abilities, then you may have to take many births and you may be born in a Vaishnava family. So it takes a long time, but you can just go back in one lifetime. It seems like if you are just bothered about yourself and you do just little service, you are not pressurized in the ashram that you have to learn shlokas or you should play powerful, nice mridang, otherwise you will be thrown out. There's no pressure, but at the same time as a preaching, that we have to learn some skills and all. And also there's a danger of attachment to those skills, not for preaching, but for own reputation. So what is the balance of not getting attached to the siddhis, at the same time we should have some abilities for preaching sake?
Yeah, the idea is to emphasize that it is easy to go back to Godhead. First become convinced of that. It is that simple. Then you can do what you like. For your learning slokas and things like that, you have to do it. Because it's not for yourself. Already you've been delivered. You've accepted the process, you've got initiation, the bond of your chanting Hare Krishna, you've been delivered. So it's not so much for yourself, it's for others. So then we live for others, because our problem's been solved. So for learning slokas, yes, you have to do it if you're going to go out and preach. Prabhupada said you should read Shankaracharya's Vedanta Sutra Bhasha. Although it says it'll crack the heart of the devotee, but Prabhupada said if you don't know what's in it, how you can preach? So for advanced devotees who are good at studying and things like that, they can even read books like that with the idea of preaching. The idea is not to... It's not a necessary qualification to have all that knowledge, to have all those symptoms of love of Godhead, to come to the stage of pure numb. Well, that we're aspiring. I think I've got to get these things, it's necessary for my Krishna consciousness. It means you miss the, then it's there. Just like there was one Rath Yatra festival, I think it was probably in Montreal. Anyway, Prabhupada gave an address, arrival address. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for attending this festival. We didn't ask anyone to follow us, and we didn't pay anyone. But naturally, all of these boys and girls, they're following us, and they were chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. So you see, this is a very natural thing. It's coming directly from the soul. And that's all we need to do. You simply chant Hare Krishna and take the prasadam with the devotees. But if you want knowledge, then we have so many books here. We have hundreds of books. So this is the idea. It's a natural thing. If you just take it, that's sufficient. But if you want more, then you're okay. It's there also. So generally, it's for our conviction. But what we're trying to say is that understand the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become convinced about that. Then it'll save you a lot of time. Because the knowledge and everything we're getting is simply for conviction. Our studying and everything is for our own conviction of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving freely. So that's, I'm trying to get that idea across. Not that you shouldn't study, you shouldn't do anything else. But whatever else is favorable for your Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness, then you can do all those things. And again, if you want these different cities, if you want Ruchi, you want Ashakti, you want Prem, you want Bhava, you want all these things like that, the best and easiest way to get them is simply accepting Lord Chaitanya's mercy and going out and giving to others. That will come more easily than separately endeavoring to study for them. The symptoms. But for preaching, you have to study, of course. It's necessary. Hare Krishna.
This is for His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu. Sometimes we are asked to pray for some sick devotees in our chanting. What should we think while we are chanting that round? Because also we are told to hear the holy name and meditate on the meaning of the holy name.
If you ask Chandramouli Swami, he'll give you a different answer. If you ask Satchinandan Swami, he'll also give you a different answer. So, I'm giving you another different answer. to make an offering for somebody who's sick, you can do that. You can chant some rounds for the and offer the benefit for somebody else. But that actually shouldn't be part of your 16 rounds. 16 rounds is obligation to your spiritual master. But over and above that you can. And as far as meditating on different aspects of spiritual life, i.e. pastimes of Krishna or understanding the meaning of the mantra, I don't have any realization about that. So for my own answer would be just because this is where I'm at. I just try to only hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But of course different acharyas are saying different things and given different shlokas to meditate on while you're chanting. But the one thing that Srila Prabhupada sticks in my mind is, he said, chanting is thinking. There's no need of thinking of anything else. So, like I say, you can ask others, you'll get different answers. Hare Krishna.